Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's May 17th, 2013. I'm just catching my breath, Jason. In fact, you had a beautiful prayer. And one of the things you mentioned about, like, Jesus coming in and vacuuming and cleaning up, but you didn't say anything about laundry. And I just had to quickly get my dryer emptied and my whites put into the dryer, and we're back here in the studio. But thank you for being patient. I know I had to kind of multitask to get everything done this morning, and thank you, God, for having the studio here in my home. So sometimes when you hear my dog barking, or you hear the birds outside the window because we have it open, or you hear the buzzer, the washing machine, you know, ring because the load is done, you know that the home studio here actually has been here 17 and a half years, I think, now. So thank you for being available for this, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And let me mention, this Sunday, a couple days from now, the Singing Men of GNN will be presenting at Bible Baptist Church in Champaign. It's a free concert, free presentation, a number of our songs, some of the golden oldies. I guess we've been singing about 15 or so years. We'll sing some that you're very familiar with a number of new arrangements. And you know Dennis Rose? He's going to be singing a solo with Bill Poor. He was drawn into the group a little over a year ago because of a song Bill Poor wrote. And so they're going to do a little duet with it, and it'll be a tearjerker. If you come out this Sunday night at 6 p.m. at the Bible Baptist Church, located at 4001 West Kirby Avenue, you're in for a real treat and a blessing. So the Singing Men will be putting on this free concert. You're all welcome. And I'm wondering if the Shifo Rock Band may be showing up. Hey, you've been doing a little garage banding or something with the whole family, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have a program that's on the iPad that you can has all these virtual instruments, and you can put it together. So as family time, we get around and we get creative, and we, you know, put a little guitar and a little piano and a little orchestra music and all of it together, and then the kids giggle or laugh or do things over it. Jacob and I recorded a song about getting our hair cut, and you know, we just kind of having fun, but you know, using technology not as a hindrance or a divisive thing where we all just staring at some screen, but trying to do it together and embrace technology, but at the same time embrace each other. So it's a good time. If you're my friend on Facebook, you can log in there. I think I put them up on Facebook, two different ones, and you can see what, you know, what I do when I'm not studying or that, when I'm just trying to
purge. Defrag.
Defrag, just trying to get rid of all the stuff from the week. And, yeah, so we had a great time.
And Tasha, she was like the hip-hop mama or something. Didn't she have that I forget that one song where it was a little hip-hop-ish.
Oh, yeah. Well, the kids were giggling. And so we captured the kids giggling. And then at the end, she goes like, giggles on the couch. And then we looped it. So it was, it's the kids, ha, 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 giggles on the couch, ha, 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 giggles on the couch.
So it's classic.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's fun, you know.
And actually, it's pretty well done. I mean, the rhythm and the orchestration or the arrangement or whatever you put together, I mean, it was kind of catchy. I think one of my comments on one of your productions was like, it could be good background music to like Iron Man 3.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I played in bands when I was younger. I play guitar now just for my own fun. Definitely not as much as I can or should or would, but I mean, I played the other day. I think I picked up a guitar and I go, wow, am I rusty. But I played music and we recorded songs when I was younger, and I have a degree in graphic arts. So, you know, creatively, that kind of stuff just gets my juices going. So I don't know if it was good or not good, but it was just fun to do.
Well, I was certainly blessed by it, and I'm sure others will. And thank you, God, for that family time, because I know the kids, hearing them giggling and having everyone involved is just a great activity and kind of one of those cheap activities where everyone's blessed through it, too.
Yeah, it didn't cost us anything, so yeah. Which was really good.
Oh, well, the book of Acts has been really good, and we're into
chapter one still.
and we're launching still into chapter one. It seems like we're plugging along. I think your church this Sunday, you're going to be in Acts chapter 4.
Yep.
So if anyone doesn't have a church home or wants to be able to attend the 10:45 service, they can come to the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, right on Route 47. It's between I-72 and I-74 if you're traveling in from out of town. But you're preaching through the book of Acts, and I think you're devoting like almost a half a year to the book, right?
Yeah, we'll be done in the beginning of November. The end of October, I think we finish, depending on if we get derailed along the way in terms of things we need to stop on. Like I'm seeing in Acts chapter 5, you know, we got Ananias and Sapphira, and then we've got this great moment with Gamaliel. So those might have to be two messages as we go along. Loosely, they are two messages right now, and I don't know how I can put them together. Normally, I'm trying to just pick, you know, I know there's multiple things happening in every chapter, but looking at that one in particular, Ananias and Sapphira, is a great example of the first mention of church discipline. And then you've got this other great moment with Gamaliel. So it might need to be two sermons. So it'll be definitely the beginning of November. And then from there, we're going to launch into a series, a four-week series about Abraham, and then which will lead us into December when Jesus, you know, when Jesus comes. So November will be a man in search of God, Abraham launching out to follow God. And then December will be God in search of man, where Jesus came down in search of us.
Hmm. And for those of you that are regular listeners to the portion we call Mark and Friends, heard at 7:32 a.m. with a 7:32 p.m. re-airing. That's Central Time, 8:32 a.m. and p.m. for our great Indiana listeners. If you want to learn through the book of Acts with us, it's going to probably be about the next year.
The pace we go, it'll be, because Ruth was four sermons in the church, and I think it was 18 sermons on here or something like that. So just do the math.
Sometime 2015 probably will be wrapping it up. So if you're just new to the radio ministry of Great News Radio, we have a program we call Mark and Friends, typically on Wednesday and Friday. Co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo joins me, and for the past 2 weeks on Fridays, we've been going through the book of Acts, and we're still really at the beginning stages because you've introduced Luke to us and referenced back to Matthew, some of the things that Luke is accomplishing and doing, and then the book of Luke, it's the same author, and how deliberate and intentional and how he recorded and researched things under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So what he's penned is exactly what God would want us to learn and study and know and be aware of and model after. And so we're just really still into the first chapter as we're going through the book of Acts together. So how about praying up our series again for today for that listener that maybe is unfamiliar with this book or unfamiliar with the truth that it holds for all of us, or maybe is a senior saint that loves this book and is excited just to glean new truths.
Lord, in your word, you call us the church, that individually and communally and then culturally, Lord, we gather together in fellowship and unity with you. And Lord, this book is so important because it outlines the first 30 years of what it meant as these people gathered together with the singular focus of following you, proclaiming the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ, the Savior who had come and made a way through sin and death to life and life everlasting. And Lord, we just ask that you would reveal to us, give us wisdom, help us to understand what it is happening, how this pertains to us. And most of all, Lord, my prayer is always is that we would find ourselves in here. We would find a bit of Peter, a bit of Ananias and Sapphira, a bit of Paul, a bit of Festus, a little bit of Felix, that we would find the bits of ourselves, and in that we would be affirmed and convicted to change and move towards a better place, the place that Jesus has prepared for us as we follow him. So we thank you and we praise you in your mighty name. Amen.
Jason, one quick thing. On Wednesday, you mentioned something interesting about this book of Acts, that there's two ways of looking at it, whether it's for the explain that a little, because I wanted to refer back on Wednesday, but we got on such a roll about prayer and God at work and different things that I think it would bear for people as we look at this book together, how we can interpret it or fit it into our lives.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people who come to the book of Acts and they go to it for answers in terms of how church, obviously it outlines what the first 30 years of the church look like. So people go to the book of Acts and they say, I want to see how the church should work. So they go to Acts 2:42 through 47, and they say, oh, well, a church needs to have teaching and fellowship and prayer and the breaking of bread, and these are the things that are going to make a church great. And by the way, the church grows by leaps and bounds in that. By, like, Acts chapter 5, it's 5,000 people. So people look at that, and they go, this is the secret to growing a church. Well, the problem is that Acts is not prescriptive. In terms of Acts doesn't tell us how we should do things. Acts tells us how things were done in the life of a person and a church at that time. It's descriptive, it's linear, it's historical. Now, what we have to do when we read the book of Acts to find out what we ought to do, hopefully I'm not confusing anybody, is we need to start in the book of Acts, say we find something. Say we look at Acts 2:42 and we say, okay, the first church was a praying church. Now, where else in Paul's letters where he doctrinally lays out what the church should be, where does he address prayer? Well, Thessalonians 5:17, he says, pray without ceasing. So now we know that we ought to pray without ceasing. That's why that was a part of the early and first church. Teaching. What does Paul say about teaching? Well, we can go, well, not even Paul, we can go to the book of James. Many of you ought not supposed to be teachers, for you'll be judged more severely. So the bar for teachers is incredibly high. That means the bar for teaching needs to be incredibly high. We have to look doctrinally at the epistles in order to find out. We can't go to the book of Acts and say, well, this is just how this should be done. Because then you're taking the good and you're throwing away the bad, because there's a lot of bad things that happen in the book of Acts too. A lot of the ways, you know, we read about Ananias and Sapphira, the ways that they kind of fell off the wagon. We read about a lot of different things that happen in the book of Acts. So the book of Acts is descriptive, not prescriptive. I can't go to the book of Acts and find out how to fix my church. I can go to the book of Acts and find ways and things that are happening in my church, but then I need to go to Paul's letters, or I need to go to James, or I need to go to Peter to find out how I need to fix those things or how I need to address those things. Church discipline is not outlined in the book of Acts, but it's clearly outlined in Peter's letters. It's clearly outlined in Romans, church discipline. If I went to Acts and looked for church discipline, you know, right away I'm going to, the Lord will just strike them dead. Yeah. You know, so I mean, we have to be very careful of that. And a lot of people go to the book of Acts and they're looking for answers. And the book of Acts is not answers. The book of Acts is individual snapshots. The book of Acts, I say, for some people, is like a photo album. And you open it up and here are all these pictures of the life of the early church. And some of those pictures you open up and you look at it and you go, that reminds me of the journey we're on. And then you've got to go and find out what that journey looks like, what the map of taking that journey is. And we usually find those in, well, we always find those in Paul's letters. We find either the affirmation, the conviction, we find how we ought to do it or how we ought to correct the way we are doing it.
And so Acts is kind of a historical.
It is.
A rendering of Luke's research, his eyewitness accounts, sharing what has happened since Jesus has risen from the dead, has ascended into heaven, and then the many stories behind the growing of the church. And yet, can't we also glean truths or find points of application for our own life as the Holy Spirit?
Oh, totally.
So this is inspired for us to benefit, to learn, to grow, to find conviction. And yet we just have to be careful we keep things in context. And we really just follow through this account, this orderly account, so that we can worship God, praise Him for how He was at work, how He worked through individuals, and yet how He wants to work through us.
Yeah, I mean, just think about Peter. We'll stop and take a snapshot of Peter. You know, Peter, prior to the book of Acts, he's impetuous, he's brash, you know, Jesus is continually having to rope Peter back in and correct him. Almost to the point, well, not almost, but to the point of where Jesus says, you're going to betray me three times. And Peter says, not me. I'm not going to do that. And then all of a sudden, you know, three times comes to pass. And yet Jesus comes at the end of John and he reinstates Peter. But look at Peter at the end of John. Some of us go, oh, Peter was reinstated. He's a new Peter. No, he's still a Peter in progress, because you know what? It says, feed my lambs. Oh, Lord, you know I love you. You know I'm going to do that. Lord, feed my lambs. You know I'm going to do that. Oh, feed my sheep. Yes, you know all things. What about that guy, John? Peter, you follow me. I mean, he's reinstated him, given that position, but he's still a Peter in progress. But by the time we get to the book of Acts, he spent 40 days with Jesus. What happens? All of a sudden, he's a Peter who, in the upper room, when it comes time to decide to fill that slot, that missing slot, they have 11 and he 12, he stands up and he speaks. He begins to lead. And we see in the double entendre in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, where it says, Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice. Peter got up and he raised his voice. These are these two measures of Peter which are standing up. And like I say this, Peter now learns to stand for something, because he's not going to fall for anything anymore. You know what he's really not going to fall for? His own self. This is a moment where we see that Peter has submitted everything to Christ. And history tells us that that was Peter's life from then on out. Peter lived faithfully and powerfully and boldly for the Lord, even so much so that Fox's Books of Martyrs tells us that when Peter was taken to the cross, when the Romans were going to crucify him, he looked him in the eye and he said, my Lord and Savior was crucified right side up. I don't even deserve that. Upside down. I mean, can you imagine? You're the Romans and Peter tells you, crucify me upside down, because I can't even go the way Jesus went.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing to me. I mean, that if you would tell me that story, and then I would go back and read the Bible, like I knew nothing about Peter, and then I go back and read the Bible, I would think you were lying. Because I would go, that's Peter? I mean, this guy, I read the Bible, he's a mess. He's nuts. the idea that we can take a journey, because you know what? When I was young, I was brash and impetuous, and I was a lot like Peter. And you know what? And I had to learn to stand with Christ. I had to learn, you know, the Bible says Christ is your rock. I had to learn to stand on the rock and not fall for anything. And I find myself repeatedly throughout the book of Acts, pictures of myself, pictures of our church, pictures of my family, pictures of the things that I need to be doing. I mean, so the book of Acts is doesn't tell me necessarily how to do it. I can find that later on. But the book of Acts does tell me that it happened to somebody else. And, you know, what's the phrase? History always repeats itself. You know, and if we don't learn from this, we're doomed to continue the cycle.
And how good it is to learn other people's lessons so we don't have to go through
exactly.
those same things.
Exactly. So in Acts chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it says, after giving instruction to the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Jesus, it says here, ministered in the power of the Spirit. It says in Luke's own gospel that after his temptation, he went into the Galilee in the power of the Spirit. It says in Hebrews that even at the cross, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself. That means that at the cross, Jesus was strengthened and kept and guided by the Spirit of God. By God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son. They give instruction now to the disciples and to us. Jesus teaches these people about the kingdom of God. In these 40 days, Jesus is teaching them about the fullness of the kingdom of God. He's holding a Bible study like we have never had or seen ever before, one where he sits and teaches, the master teacher teaching us.
Who had risen from the dead. Can you even imagine sitting in here and it's like, okay, you got my rap attention. I know you've been there, you've done that, you know all things.
And this kingdom of God, it's the same thing that he taught 120 times in the gospel accounts. The kingdom of God is like. And that's why I tell people that one of my passions for my life, for my ministry, for my church, is that we become students of the Bible. The teaching is to be penultimate and important to the things that we do. That's why I put a lot of time in study and prep and the things that I do, because I want to see people grow in the Bible. The biggest problem I see is that people understand bits of the Bible. It's as if people say, I like chocolate chips and I like flour and I like sugar, but they've never had them all together to understand how wonderful a cookie can be. You know, and so we have to become students of the Bible because Jesus gave us the Bible so that we would know how to follow him. You know, it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, awana verse. It says, study to show yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Who am I to show myself approved to? To God. Why do I study? I don't study so that I can study and show everybody around how smart Jason is. I study because it's in obedience to God, to show myself approved to God. Oh, good and faithful servant, you kept my word. You kept my commandments. And so Jesus chose these people, and then he appeared to these people. It says in John 15 and verse 16, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. Jesus chose him. It says in Mark 3:13, he went up on a mountaintop, and he prayed to God, and then he called to them those that he wanted, and he designated them apostles. That there were a lot of people at that time who were around Jesus, and Jesus went up and said to God, who are the guys? Who are the ones? You know, and I think about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. It says, for what I received I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's two. Remember your Hebrew. You get two or three, that's an exclamation point. And he appeared to Cephas and to the 12, and after that he appeared more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. I know many people who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into their life, been wildly changed, and then I don't know, for some inexplicable reason, have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James and then to the apostles. Notice James is separate there because James is his brother, and it's really hard to convince your family that you've changed. Easier to convince those people who don't know you, but your family, that's a lot different. And then to the apostles, and last he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. This is Paul talking. We can see in the Gospels a few of these appearances where Jesus appeared to people. But I think one of the big things that I think is interesting about this is just think about our political and legal systems. You can't get 500 people in one room to agree on anything. Yet here you've got 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time who agree, we saw Jesus. No questions asked, we saw Jesus. My gosh, I watch those congressional things on TV, and those people are arguing back and forth. They can't agree on a darn thing. Here's 500 people. One time when I watched Congress, I just wanted to have them all go like, Jesus is Lord, all at one time, and there's a big agreement on that. But these people here agreed that Jesus is Lord. I mean, Jesus even appeared to the men on the road to Emmaus, and there he connects for them the scriptures to Moses, to the prophets, and to him. Jesus is continually teaching people by the way that he lived as he appears. Every time Jesus appears to somebody, he's teaching somebody. Maybe in the last weeks or months, or maybe even in the last day, or maybe even in this last hour, Jesus appeared to you in some way, shape, or form, maybe through his word, maybe you heard something, maybe through the wind, maybe you got a message, maybe you got a piece of mail, maybe you heard a song on the radio. Jesus is not bound by how he speaks to you. He can speak to you in so many different ways. And maybe Jesus has appeared to you, friend, and he's teaching you something. Because Jesus doesn't just appear to us because he wants to visit. Jesus appears to us because he wants to teach us something about what the kingdom of God is like. You know why? Because you are in the kingdom. And he wants you to know what it's like.
And you matter to him.
Exactly.
And there may be somebody tuned in right now that says, I don't think Jesus has ever spoken to me. I don't think he cares for me. I don't even know if he exists. I don't know if I even believe in him. Oh, dear friend, don't let this day go by. Don't let this hour go by without searching the scriptures or finding somebody that's a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or for that matter, if you want to talk with a trained counselor that can help you enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and know that God loves you, you can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. And these trained counselors will carry you through that relationship. They'll carry you into the arms of a loving God who fashioned you and who cares for you. Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this Acts study. We'll continue this next Friday and in the coming weeks, months, probably years, as we're still in the first few verses. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.